Well, I trust everyone had a good Mother's Day, as good as we can have it. But I had a good Mother's Day. I went home, took a nap. It's always a good Mother's Day. Appreciate the opportunity to preach tonight. I'm going to really kind of finish up what I started the last time I was with you. We were talking about misdirected love. And tonight I'm going to continue on that thought as I deal with the other verses that we're going to be dealing with tonight. So 1 John chapter 2, we'll read all the verses again, and then I'll bring you up to date on what we talked about last time I was with you, and then we'll go into our thought this evening. Lord is good. It's good to be saved. I enjoyed the services this morning. Thank God blessed. Good preaching and good singing. Just a great service this morning. 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 15. Now, the first part of this verse is what I dealt with two or three weeks ago. Last time I preached. It says this, love not the world. And then he says, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, last week we talked about several things that led us up to our thought. First of all, we talked how in the scriptures that the Bible teaches us that we're to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, all our minds, with all our soul. The Bible teaches that. And then Jesus, in summation of the commandments, said this, and then we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. And we looked at the word love, and we saw that the word agape love means unconditional. No strings attached, undying, and with only a love that God can love. So we talked about the fact that after we're saved by the grace of God, God gives us the ability to love him like we should. Because if we look at this, what Jesus said, and then examine our own hearts and lives, can we honestly say that we love him the way God directs us to love him? Well, we can't. But when Jesus saved us by the grace of God and the Spirit of God came into our lives, then the Spirit of God gave us the ability. Over in Romans, it talks about how the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Spirit. God gives us the ability to love him as he directs us in his word. So we talked then about this ability. Then we examined misdirected love over here in 1 John chapter 2. He says, love not the world. We talked about that word love, same word agape. Talks about giving our all to someone or something. So if I'm going to love God, I'm to love him with all of my being. And then he says to love not the world. If I'm a Christian, I'm saved by the grace of God. After all, this epistle is written to Christians, not written to lost folks. It's written to Christians. And he's saying to the Christian that we should love not the world. That is the agape love, all our hearts, all our minds, all our souls. Give it over to the world. We're not to love the world in that way. We love the world in that way. Then it's a misdirected love. Our love should be toward God, his Son, him only. But if our love is directed somewhere else instead of where it's supposed to be directed, then it's a misdirected love. We gave three primary reasons why we should love, not the world. First of all, we talked about the fact that it was a direct commandment of God. This is something that God said. What's the commandment? What does God command us? God command us that we love not the world. Now, if we have the ability to love God the way we should have the ability to love not the world the way we should love not the world. And one of the reasons why is because God commanded it. Express commandment from the God, and then the second from God, and then the second thing we talked about, that this world system is opposed to God. If we love the world, I'm talking to Christians now, I'm not talking to lost folks. If we love the world instead of God, or more than God, then we have abandoned ship. We have committed a grievous sin in our life. Our love has been misdirected. The world system is opposed to God. Because the world system is opposed to God, we as Christians should not love the world, because the world's opposed to God, it's opposed to His Son, it's opposed to His people, it's opposed to His world or His word, it's opposed to His church. And then the third reason that we gave is the fact that Satan is the prince of this world. So three good thoughts there of why we as Christians, as God's people, should not love the world. So if we love the world, it's a misdirected love. Now, in continuing that, the first thing that I want to talk to you about tonight is the word things. He tells us in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, he says, love not the world. Talked about that the last time I was with you. And then he said, neither the things that are in the world. I have in my hand an ink pen. This ink pen is a thing. I'm wearing a suit of clothes. My suit of clothes is a thing. I have a tie. My tie is a thing. I have shoes on my feet. The shoes are a thing. I drive a 2010 Chevrolet Equinox. Chevrolet Equinox is a thing. Anything, I live in a thing. I live in a house. These are all things. And the Bible tells us that the Christian is not to love the things of the world. You see, if we get to the point of desiring things, here's what happens. There's a danger of putting God last and things first. How many hours of the day do we spend on our homes, mowing the yard? They call it today manicuring. Now, I don't manicure my yard, I mow it. If I had a billy goat, I'd put that billy goat out there and let him take care of it. But they call it manicuring. How many hours a day do we spend on our yards? Or just working around the house? Nothing wrong with these things. But how many hours a day do we spend in the Bible? How many hours do we spend in prayer? Does it mean that I love that thing more than I love the Lord Jesus Christ? How many hours do I put in on certain areas of our life that deals with things? Misdirected love is a love that can turn us away from God and turn our attention to things. He said to love not the world. And then he said, nor the things of the world. So if we're turned away, And by the way, there's nothing wrong with things. I mean, there's nothing wrong with this ink pen. If I want to, it's a useful thing. I still write letters. I don't use a computer. Call it stubbornness, call it old age, I don't know. But this pen, I can take and write a letter. I can write a thank you card. I can send a letter. I can write a check. A lot of things that I can do with this. Nothing wrong with things. The only problem is if we love these things more than we love the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a tendency. When we begin to love things, that we put God aside, then we must accumulate things, right? I don't know about you guys, but at my house, I have what I call a thing day. Does anybody have a thing day? I don't accumulate anything. Nothing. I go through my house. I go through my drawers. If there's something there that I haven't used in 2 to 3 weeks, I throw it away. I just don't accumulate. If you go into my house, you'll see right away that I don't accumulate much. What good is something laying around and never use it? I have a friend says, I can't throw that away. I may need it. I said, how long has it been here? He said, oh, I've had it for about 5 years now. I said, have you ever used it? Well, no. I said, why don't you pitch it? If you never use it, what good is it? He said, I might. So I have a thing day. I just throw things away. One day I threw away a television set. One day I threw away a computer. I threw away 2 desktop computers. I threw away a laptop computer because I don't use computers. What good is it to have something around you don't use? And the other day, I got rid of some things on the coffee table. Now, I'm not suggesting you do that. Most people can't do that. They really can. And the reason is because we get attached to these things. We get attached to a trinket. We get attached to anything. So I have a thing day. That way I pitch it. That way I don't accumulate. But you see, when our affections is directed toward things, here's what happens. We want more things. I know of situations where people clear their tables off so they can put more things on their table. And bear in mind, I'm not condemning anybody that does this. I'm just telling you. We want things. We love things. We worship things. And before we realize it, Satan has made us idolaters. Because these things become more important than God, His Son, and the things of God. Instead of possessing our possessions possess us. Instead of us owning them, they own us. So we want things, we work for things, and before long we're worshiping things. Says in 2 Timothy about Demas, it says, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas began to desire things. And because of that, he left the ministry. There was a time that he loved God. There was a time that he was busy serving God. There was a time that God was more important in his life than things. But then, he no longer served God. Somewhere along the way in his journey, somewhere along the way in his travel, spiritual travel, he started to misdirect his love, not toward God, but toward the things of this world. You know, we must learn a valuable lesson. Look in the scriptures in Philippians chapter 4. It says this in verse 10. It says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care for me is first again. Wherein ye were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both," he said, "how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Now, you've heard the old saying about living within our means. I'm sure somewhere down the line you've heard that. Some financial advisor, when I was thinking about when I'd reached a point in my life that I knew that I couldn't go on and like working the way I was working, and I retired, first thing I did, as far as my finances were concerned, I met with a financial advisor. And basically, here's what he said. Now, I paid this guy money. Tell me this. You know, we just sometimes do numbskull things, don't we? Here's what he said to me in essence. You're going to have to live within your means. Now, that sounds good, but the Bible goes beyond that. Do you know that? The Bible says and teaches, not says it directly, but teaches us that we're to live within our needs. Different, you see. Well, you live within your means. Bible teaches that we live within our needs. Now, here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, and he's the first financial advisor we ought to go to, right? He said this. He said, "I'll supply your every need." I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that. But I paid this financial guy dollars to tell me I need to live within my means, but the Bible takes us beyond that thought. What was Paul saying in all that? He was saying simply this: I learned how to live within my need. Now, one thing about prison, you don't need much, say. I was in the Philippines in Manila, and we got entry into the prison there in Manila, big prison, huge prison. In Manila, they give the inmates one bowl of rice a day. That's it. That's all they get. One bowl of rice a day. That's what the state of Manila, or the Philippines, gives their prisoners. So the rest of it, they have to earn. They have to have someone on the outside, or they can bring stuff in and they can sell. They sell chewing gum, they sell cigarettes, all these things. So they can earn extra money to buy food in this prison. And I was talking to one of the inmates, just had recently been saved, and we were talking about this, and I said, "How in the world do you survive?" He said, "Well, I get one bowl of rice a day from the government, and then I have my wife on the outside who helps me, And then she comes in on certain days of the week, we sell things. He said, in other words, he didn't say in other words, but he said, I learned to live within my needs. What do I need? Well, God, here's what God promised. He promises his presence. He's promised us his power. He's promised us that he feedeth and clotheth. He said he'd supply our needs. Instead of loving the things of the world, we need to learn with it to live within our needs. In Colossians, the Word of God states this in chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, for Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things. You see this three times it's mentioned here. Things, things, and then set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. In other words, Paul said, number one, I've learned to live within my needs. And number two, the Word of God says, where our affections need to be. Not on things of the world. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. Misdirected love. But our affection should be on him. Should be on him. That's the things he's talking about. And when our love is misdirected, then we begin to pull away from God and leave God and leave the things of God. Now, I'm not telling you not to have things. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But those things should not be the primary object of our life. All these things, I may have told you this story, but I'll tell you again. Maybe someone out there in television land or whatever we're out on may never heard it before. But I knew of a situation where a guy loved his car. It's a Cadillac. And he said, when I die, I want you to bury my whole car and put me in the driver's seat. Because I don't want to leave it to anybody. This is my car and I'm taking it with me. Well, you go down there today and dig that car up, it's still going to be there. And you're going to see a skeleton behind the steering wheel. Still there. Because things will not go with us into heaven. We take with us the things that we can take with us. Our affections should not be on things of the world. Our hearts should not be directed to the things of the world. Our hearts should not love the things of the world more than we love God. Love not the world. That's pretty easy, really. Because when you stop and think about what's out there, there's just not much out there to love, right? But then he says, neither the things of the world. But don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying we shouldn't have things. I have things. These things should not pull our love away from God. Neither the things that are in the world. And then he's in this text. It's just a hard saying here, but if you think about what he's saying, in context. Remember, he's dealing primarily with Gnosticism. Gnosticism was running rampant in the Lycus Valley in those days. The Gnostic, is one that knows everything. An agnostic is someone who knows nothing. If I'm an agnostic, that means I'm empty-headed, I know nothing. But if over here I claim to be a Gnostic, and I claim to have all knowledge. Now here's what the Gnostics believed. Number one, they didn't believe that Jesus Christ's resurrection was a bodily resurrection. They knew that, they thought. So there's a lot of doctrinal issues that John is dealing with. And in this doctrinal issue that he's brought to our attention, he's talking about misdirected love. Here's what he said. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Then he goes on to say, if any man love the world. Now here we go. The love of the Father, it's not in him. Over in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12, the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Plain. Simple. I've been studying the Bible now for 51 years. And there's still a lot of things in there I don't understand. A lot of things in there that after I read it, it causes me to get up and scratch my head. And I just don't understand what it says. But there are many things in there I understand. Now, one of the things I understand is I'm really not held accountable for things that I don't understand. Not. But I am held accountable for the things I understand. Some things are very plain. I don't have any question about tithing. Don't have any question about my salvation. Don't have any question as who Jesus is. Don't have any question about my salvation. I don't have any question about a lot of things. Some of it's just very plain, very simple. That's what I'm accountable for. I'm accountable for what I know. And here, very simply, he said, if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. Now, this causes the best of us to think, how is my relationship with the Lord? This statement is plain. It causes us to think. And then the question that comes into our mind, where is our affection toward God? And how is our affection toward man? Is it misdirected? Because of the world and things, is our love misdirected? And then he calls our salvation into question. He said, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. How we answer this question, our eternal destiny depends on it. Do I know Christ as my personal Savior? Do I love Christ more than I love things in this world? Do I love Christ more than the most important persons in my life. It causes us to question and then causes us to answer questions. As Christians, now listen to me. As Christians, according to Scripture, we cannot love the world and the things of the world. That's according to Scripture. Now, choices must be made. Been that way all through the Bible. Joshua said, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve." Elijah asked, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." And then he made this statement, "Ye cannot," listen to that, "ye cannot serve God and mammon." You'll find that in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. You cannot serve God. There's no in between. We're either saved or we're lost. There's no in between. We either love God and serve Him or we do not. There's no in between. We either love Him more than the world and the things of the world, or we do not. And if there's a big question mark in your life, that question mark has to be taken care of. The Bible tells us, folks, it's not Brother Mullins talking. It's what the Scripture says. It says, "If any man love the world, love the Father, not in him." Even O Christ, you that are listening this evening, do you know Christ as your personal Savior? Have you been born again? If you were to die right now, where would you spend eternity? You're going to spend it either in heaven or you're going to spend it in hell. There's no in between, no purgatories, either heaven or hell. So we need to consider, or in this, in the midst of this, we find a challenge to the very things that we love and adore. Is our love directed toward the Heavenly Father, or is our love misdirected? And because of misdirected love, have we? I've talked to a lot of people in these years who are dying. I talked to one individual. Was in hospice. You know, once they put you in the hands of the death squad, there's not a whole lot left. You know, you don't have long to go, right? And he was already turning gray. You know what that means? He was dying. He was turning gray. He'd been preached to. So this individual asked me to go down there and see him. So I went down to see him. And I took the Scriptures and I went through the Scriptures with him. And then I threw the net out. And I said, "Right now, according to your own testimony, you have never accepted Christ as Lord and Savior of your life." I said, "Do you want to accept Christ?" And I'll tell you, the Spirit of God was mighty in that room. And I was all excited. I thought, sure, he was going to accept Christ. And he looked up at me and he said, No. Here's a man dying, laying in his deathbed, already turning black, and he refused to accept Christ. I said, do you understand fully what you just did? You have rejected the only one that can save you from hell. And unless you accept Christ, you're going to go into eternity with that on your heart. Here's a question. Knew he was dying, but chose not to accept Christ. I guess the hardest thing there is in the world, in my ministry, has been trying to convince my family of their needs. Most difficult thing I've ever done in my life. And then the terrible thing is, if they die without Christ, you know where they're spending eternity. You know it. Consider our salvation and consider the proof of our salvation. This is what the question is here. And finally, notice what the world system is made up of. He says in verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. There's a deadly virus out there, and it's not the coronavirus. That's the most dangerous virus. It's a deadly virus out there, and it's called the world system. Because we're not dealing here with human life. We're dealing here with eternal life. We're not dealing with just the body dying. We're dealing with the eternal destiny of the soul. And the whole job of Satan is to turn folks away from Christ and the things of Christ, and he uses the world system to do that. What's there? First, he says, lust of the flesh. Now, what is lust? Lust is a desire of anything. We're all guilty of that to a certain degree. Every time I pass a 2020 Chevrolet Blazer, boy, how the lust wells up in me. Prettiest car I believe I've ever seen in my life. 2020 Chevrolet Blazer. We all have that. I was telling a friend of mine about it, and a friend of mine said, go on, take a new car pill, go to bed, wake me in the morning. In other words, just get it off your mind. Get off your mind. I got the lusting after a Chevrolet Blazer so bad I went and had one priced. Close to $50,000 for a Chevrolet Blazer. I mean, I just almost fell out of the pew. I took that car pill. I went home, went to bed, got off my mind. I mean, we've all gone through that. Clothes is my downfall. I love clothes. I like suits. And I like going in places where suits are sold. And I go to where they sell $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 suits. Now, Roger, I'll never have a $3,000 suit. best I can do with a $300 suit. But I love to go and feel them tear. You ever ran your fingers across a suit that cost $4,000? Man. And then, smell it. Smell like a fine cigar. And I lust. Boy, I'd like to have that suit. We all have done that. The kind of lust that he's talking here is desire that would pull us away from the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and from his Son. So the lust that he's speaking of, even though lust is a strong desire of anything, really, what he's speaking unto here, what he's speaking of, is a perverted love. The lust of the flesh. So that all is in the world system, the lust of the flesh is impurity of life. It's sexual impurity. Not only that, it's intemperance, overindulgence, self-indulgence. All these things come under the heading of the lust of the flesh. He said that's what's out there. But not only is the lust of the flesh out there, the Bible says we find the lust of the eye. This is a desire to have what we see. Now, I've gone through my blazer problem with you and my suit problem with you. I'm not going to go through that again. But we're not careful. We begin to desire what we see. Eve saw that the fruit was good. Lot looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah. David saw Bathsheba bathing naked. Achan saw and took of the Babylonian garment and a wedge of gold. What's in the world? What virus is out? Lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. And then finally, the pride of life. This has to do with personal vanity. What do we deal with when we deal with pride? Well, we can deal with the pride in oneself. We can even deal in things we've gained. We can deal in pride of where we are. We can deal in the pride of what we have. All these things are things that deals with pride. My position is better than your position. I have more money than you have. I have more things than you have. Pride of life. Bible says it's a killer. The lust of the flesh is a killer. And the lust of the eyes is a killer. That's all that's out there in the world. If you find beauty in that, then what you have is a misdirected love. A misdirected love. He goes on to say this. And the world passeth away, sin, and the lust thereof. Now, I want to stop here for just a moment. I'm about to wrap this thing up. But notice he said, and the lust thereof. Folks, listen to me. Can you imagine going to hell and all the lust of this life follows you into hell? If you're an alcoholic, you want a drink, but you can't get it. If you're a dope fiend, you want drugs, but you can't get it. If you're a sex addict, you want sex and you can't get it. All these things that the world is made up of will follow you into hell. And for all eternity, will never be satisfied. Never. Never. That's in addition to eternal torment. That's in addition to the loneliness and the blackness of it. But you'll never be satisfied for all eternity. All the things that you want, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life, will follow you into your final destination. And you'll never be satisfied. That's what he's saying here. The world passes away and the lust thereof. Now I know there will not be a lust in the new heaven, the new earth. But there will be in hell. And it'll never be satisfied. Can you imagine that individual that on his deathbed refused to accept Christ and how he's thought about it all this time? That longing never be satisfied. Never. That's the virus. It's out there. Far worse than the coronavirus. We're talking about a virus that will never be satisfied. Now, how can we apply this? I ran across this. We're talking about misdirected love. Love toward the world system is a misdirected love. And I ran across this. It says, biblical separation from the world is being as close to the Lord as you can and staying as far away from the world as possible. And then he made this statement. It all starts with salvation. God's people should not love the world. God's people should not love the things of the world. We should love the Lord. This is love directed in the right direction. But love directed anywhere but there is misdirected love. And you'll end up paying for it. I don't know your heart tonight, those of you who are out there listening, those of you that are in the auditorium this evening, but it sure causes us to think. Do I love God more than the world? Do I love God more than the things of the world? Where are my desires directing? As we stand, song leader comes, and piano player.